We begin with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, open up our hearts and our minds so that we might hear and be moved by the words of John the Baptist. In your name, amen. He stood at the corner of South Court and Franklin Street. It was a Thursday of the pumpkin show. And I stood across the street from him, and I wanted to see the reaction of the people as they passed by. And quite frankly, I was trying to measure whether this guy was gutsy or nutsy. Most people just walked by, and I don't think they even heard him or noticed him. They were too involved in their own conversations. Other people, I could tell, they purposely crossed the other side of the street because they simply wanted to avoid him altogether. Once in a while, one or two people would go up to him and talk to him. It seemed like they were supporting him, encouraging him for his message. Others went up to laugh at him. They pretended as if they were interested in what he said, but then they would leave with some kind of put down or insult. None of that seemed to faze him. He carried on. He spoke very loud and very clear. Sometimes his voice got lost in a gust of wind, but he carried on speaking faithfully. I've got to tell you that in the time I watched his message, I'm not sure that it struck home with any of the passersby. I thought, was anyone drawn into his message? Did some come forward to listen to, really listen to him and to ask questions about what he was saying? Did anybody respond? Was anybody moved to act? Was there someone who followed his call for action? I guess you could call him one who cries out in the middle of the wilderness. Of course, Court and Franklin is not the wilderness. But the young man was very much like John the Baptist. As John the Baptist, he called people from Jerusalem to hear the word of the Lord. And that's what this young preacher at the pumpkin show was doing. But to be honest, John the Baptist had it easier. See, the people of Israel were used to having prophets. Maybe they hadn't seen one in their lifetime, but it was part of their background, it was part of their history. Prophets would always come once in a while and call on them. So John had an audience that was ready to hear his preaching. But there was something else about John's message. See, he talked about the coming of the Messiah, the promised one of God. And the people of Israel, they had waited for centuries, for a long time, waiting for that fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy that one day God would send them a new prophet. But not just a prophet, a king, a leader of the people. Now in their minds, they thought that this king, this leader, would form a rebellion and would overthrow the Roman army, and he would make Israel a power again. So John's call to return to the Lord, well, they listened. It registered with the people. They were so excited and thoughtful about what was going to happen, but they missed the point. Some heard. Some didn't hear. Some heard and misunderstood. But what about you and me? How do we respond to this type of word? Now let's say for this morning I came out like John the Baptist with a hair coat and with a cane. And I came out to you and I said to you, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance." You probably would find that a little humorous. And I guarantee you, you will remember that sermon. From years to come, you will say, "Oh, Pastor, remember when you came out as John the Baptist? Would you hear the message?" You know, I fear that the preacher at the pumpkin show and the word spoken by John the Baptist has very little impact in our lives, in our hearts. We may find it curious. We may find it disturbing. We might even find it funny. But I don't think any of us would heed the warnings. Do not begin to say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children of Abraham." What would John say to us this morning? Don't expect to earn God's favor because you're Lutheran, or because you come to worship every Sunday, or because you help the outreach of the congregation. We support those ministries that help the poor, that give food, that give clothing. See, none of that doesn't impress God. That's not how you and I earn God's favor. So John's word is to us: "You brood of vipers." We really take that in. We're left bare by those words. We are convicted by John's preaching. And like the people in the text, we would have to ask, what can we do? How can we respond to those words? Well, John comes to prepare the way for Christ. And he comes in a way that for them and for you and me, so that we might look at ourselves, look deeply into ourselves, and to see, to notice what needs to be changed. Now, I don't know what that might be for your life. I can't possibly know what burdens you carry. I can't possibly understand some of the choices you've made in your life or some of the actions that you're taking. But that word of John lays us open, lays us bare before God's light. And there's a problem for you and I with that. See, we either ignore John's word, just like they ignored the preacher at the pumpkin show, or we're trapped. And we don't know what to do when we hear that call for repentance. If we take it in, we say, "God, what do we do? God, how are we supposed to act?" The crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with another who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even the tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed to you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages." See, John calls the people. And he calls you and me to share what we have in excess. Share it with those who have none. John calls you and I to be honest, to follow through with our responsibilities at work, and be wise in how we spend our money. John says to you and I, do not use your power or your position to take an advantage of someone. Well, how are you doing with that measuring stick? The one that John just gave to you and me. If we really look again into our hearts, we're lost. We're lost with what God requires for us. Now, yeah, realistically, we as a congregation do an awful lot. You do an awful lot in reaching out into the community, to sharing what we have, sharing with food, and helping and supporting those in need. But the irony is none of that is enough. John's call to repentance can never be fulfilled. See, the good news of Advent, the joyful news that we share this morning, is that God is coming, not to destroy us, but to change us, to help us become what we are meant to be. See, God's great gift comes to us, God's greatest gift to us, is when we own up to what we have done, what we have been, and to express our sorrow for that. John says, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals." Again, John the Baptist's purpose was to get the people, to get you and I prepared for the coming of the one that's more powerful than he. You know who that is. It's the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and is our Savior. He enters into our world. He enters into our lives. And we know that. We know that He comes to us as the baby born in Bethlehem. We know that He comes to you and me to teach us and to show us God's unending love. And that we prepare ourselves for that fact in history. And we know the rest of the story. How Jesus goes to the cross for our failures, for our inability to live up with the repentance that John calls us to be. And Jesus rises again for our forgiveness. You brood of vipers, that's you. That's me. And it is the coming of Christ that changes us. So we anticipate that coming. We've celebrated it before, but we get our minds and our hearts together because that time of arrival is coming. That time of celebration is coming as we recognize that Christ comes to forgive us, to save us, and fill us with His love. In His name, Amen.